Our readings this week in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, in which Moses gives his restatement to the Israelites, reminding them of the many laws that God had given them for their fellowship with Him, including the work of Aaron and the priests and the sacrifices, and reminding the Israelites of the events of their wandering in the wilderness, many of which were quite bad for the people, and at the same time showing them God's faithfulness, is another example of the reliability of Scripture that Jason brought to us this morning, because we see in particular in Deuteronomy 18 and in those pictures of the Levitical sacrifices, foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior Jesus. At this point that Moses is given this reiteration, Aaron and Miriam have died in the wilderness. Moses has already been barred from the promised land because of his own rebellion, and yet was remaining God's prophet to the people and reminding them of his law. And in Deuteronomy 18, in the course of that reminding, he told them that God would raise up another prophet in the likeness of Moses, and that they were to listen to that prophet. We know it is our Lord and Savior Jesus who is that prophet that Moses prophesied of, as declared by the Holy Spirit to the Apostle Peter in Acts 3, and of Stephen, that godly man filled with the Holy Spirit in the midst of his martyrdom in Acts 7. And also, in the event Jason mentioned this morning in the Mount of Transfiguration that Peter referred to in 2 Peter chapter 1, because you see in that event, Elijah embodying the prophets and Moses, that lawgiver who was barred from the promised land, in the promised land, listening to Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit, through Luke, tells us that Elijah and Moses were speaking with Jesus about his exodus, his departure. And so Moses was listening to Jesus in the promised land. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, the Holy Spirit said of the prophet through Moses in Deuteronomy 18. And then centuries later, in the book of Hebrews, would tell us in Hebrews 3, for this one has been counted worthy of more glory, speaking of Jesus, than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for the testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Moses was indeed, as the Spirit tells us, a faithful servant in the Lord's household. Yet we see in his life terrible consequences of pride, sin, and disobedience that resulted in him being barred from the promised land. And yet that is not true of the prophet Jesus. For the Hebrew writer, Spirit moved him to say, he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. Leviticus 16 showed us that even as God gave these system of sacrifices led by the priests, and the priests, beginning with Aaron as the high priest, were to intercede for the people for the forgiveness of sins, that before they could do that, they had to first offer sacrifices for their own sins. They were blemished by sin, just as were all the people. And just like all the people had to place their hands on the spotless, unblemished, innocent animal that they were offering as a reminder of their own sin, that animal, though innocent, was dying for the sins they committed, the priests, Aaron, and everyone after him also had to do the same thing, put their hand on the innocent sacrifice, and in that way, reminding and confessing their own sin. And every one of those priests, as we saw, beginning with Aaron, died. And for generation after generation after generation, new high priests were required. And for generation after generation after generation, those priests had to first sacrifice for their own sins and then for the people. But that is not true of our High Priest Jesus. The Holy Spirit showing us in our High Priest Jesus that He is the one who sympathizes with our struggle with temptation and sin, was tempted in all ways that we are, and yet was without sin. And He is now at the Father's right hand. Hebrews 7:26-30. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests did, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath of God, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. And continues in Hebrews 7, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for the people. So far greater than Moses and far holier than Aaron and the priest is our Lord and Savior, our great high priest, Jesus. Hebrews 8. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. So as we prepare to share in the supper that he gave us, that we might remember him, there are no better words to guide our remembrance of him than those of the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 9:11-15. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.